Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're going to talk about salesmanship, specifically the importance of communication inside salesmanship, and I don't know how you could have one without the other. And to help us do that, to help us conduct this conversation is our good friend Brad Huskin. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He's been in sales since 1971. Since that time, he's been directly involved in all aspects of sales and sales management. Many people call him the Mike Ditka of the selling game. His experience and knowledge has enabled him to author the book I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD, which I have in front of me. Brad Huskin, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
It's always a pleasure to have you with us, and I like the way you think about salesmanship and the work that you do. And you travel all over the country working with folks, don't you?
Yes, I do. I travel probably 225, 250 days a year.
Mercy.
So it keeps me off the streets.
Do you ever wake up in a hotel and not know where you are?
I've never done that, but I have woken up and gone out to the parking lot only to discover I have no idea what kind of car I rented.
Well, yeah, and I've done that. Now, I can remember there was a time when I traveled as much as you do, and I literally can remember waking up. There was this one time, and I don't even remember where I was now, but there was this one time where the day before I had been in three cities. I was flying myself around, and I'd been in three cities the day before and three different rental cars, and when I woke up the next morning, the curtains were so dark. You know how they got that full block curtain now.
Oh, sure.
You know, in these hotel rooms.
Yep.
They were pulled, and I woke up and I almost panicked because I did not know where I was. And I literally had to kind of walk myself back to the airport. You know, and I remember thinking, okay, I filed my flight plan into that airport. Now I know where I am. I'm in Cincinnati.
Absolutely.
Or wherever it was.
Yeah, well, that's life on the road.
That's right. It's you know, and people who don't travel don't realize that the traveling itself is the equivalent of a full work week.
Oh, absolutely.
Not to mention the work that you do.
Yeah, and I've always told people it's not really that glamorous traveling. I go to work. I just go a lot further.
There's nothing glamorous about it if you've done it very much. And after a while, you say, you know, if I have to order off of a menu one more time, I think I just won't eat.
It's amazing how good a peanut butter and jelly sandwich can taste when you get home.
Yeah, right. Or just a grilled cheese or something.
Absolutely.
That's pretty good. Brad, let's talk about chapters. In your chapter three, folks, Brad's book is called I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD, Realistic Strategies to Increase Your Sales. Jack, I keep calling you Jack. The guy I had on last time was Jack. Brad Huskin, I know who you are. In your chapter three, on preparedness, you've got a section there called communication, and it's an excellent section. The whole book is excellent, Brad, but this section is really particularly good, and I'd like for you to take us through this section.
Well, I kind of believe that in sales you have to have the ability to speak with understanding and excitement, and probably even more important than that is you have to have the ability to really listen and concentrate on every single word the customer's saying. And you know, that's why our mothers always told us we were born with one mouth and two ears for a reason.
So you can listen twice as much as you speak.
Exactly. And, you know, the customers are funny. They'll tell you everything you need to know to close the sale and to add on and to find out what the emotional reason behind the purchase is. And they'll let you know some personal information to have a meaningful non-business conversation if you just ask the right questions and listen.
Right. Somebody paid me a compliment lately, and I don't think he really meant to, but he may have. But he said, Jim, you listen really hard, don't you? And I thought that was an interesting thing to say, to say someone listens hard, and he was I took it as a compliment.
Well, absolutely, and it's actually a skill that you have to develop, and it's one of those back to the basic techniques of salesmanship that you really have to listen to every word the customer's saying and concentrate and practice your listening skills. And sometimes we get too caught up and too busy thinking what the next question is or what the next words we're going to say are, and we don't hear what the customer is saying.
Well, there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, our ego. You know, the biggest impediment to being a good listener is our ego.
Oh, absolutely.
And because we think we know everything that there is to know about this subject, and it's really just a matter of how long is it going to take me to get you to sign on the contract.
Well, that's exactly right, and it's going to take even longer if you're not listening to what the customer's telling you.
That's exactly right. And let's move on and talk about some of the things that you list in this section of your book, I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD. The first one you talk about in communicating in Chapter 3 is maintain direct eye contact.
Well, I absolutely believe that, and I think that the eyes are the windows to the soul, and you can tell an awful lot of things going on in the sales presentation if you just maintain eye contact with the customer. The customer knows you're sincere, and the customer knows you're listening to them, and you're actually hearing them if you've got that direct eye contact, and it helps eliminate some of the fear that customers have as well of you being a salesperson. You know, we're not the most liked profession out there. We've gotten a bad rap on the press and, you know, movies and all those things. So you got to do something to set yourself apart and be somebody different and make sure you maintain eye contact with the customer at all times, and then they'll know that you're hearing them.
You know, you were talking about the reputation. I was just thinking of many, many years ago, a couple of lives ago, I was selling retail, putting myself through college, and was in a department store. I worked for Sears back in those days, and you know, I was in a department, and people would come in the department, and then I'd always give them a few seconds, just sort of, you know, make sure that they weren't just passing through, and then I'd walk over, and sometimes they'd look at me, and it was almost like they thought, you know, if I don't get out of here, I know he's going to sell me something.
Absolutely.
As if they didn't have their own free will, you know.
Yeah. And I don't want to date you, but was that back when it was Sears, Roebuck and Company?
It was back in the old days. Yeah. Oh yeah, you can. It's okay. You can date me. I'm talking.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking 30 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it all boils down to that direct communication and letting the customer know that you're a real-life human being and mm-hmm. that you're only there to satisfy them.
Absolutely, no question about it. Brad, stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Brad Huskin is our special guest and our good friend. He's the author of an outstanding book that I recommend to you. It's called I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD, Realistic Strategies to Increase Your Sales. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you'd like to join us, we'll be right back. We are back. It's 24 after. Thank you for joining me. I appreciate your business. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and our phone number on this show, toll-free coast-to-coast, is 1-888-822-8255, 1-888-822-8255. If you'd like to join me, if you have a question or comment for me or my special guest and our good friend Brad Huskin, the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD. Brad, your book is available in bookstores and online, isn't it?
It's available at Amazon.com and actually directly through our offices.
Okay, all right. And how would they get through your office?
Well, our number is 800-248-7703. Or you can reach us on the web. Our email address is iastrain@ix.netcom.com.
Okay. And you can go to my website, folks, and find Brad, too. So if you're looking for his email, or if you just didn't get a chance to write that down, and if you're kind of lazy and you just want to ask me to get it for you, if you want to email me, I'd be glad to do that for you. A lot of people do that and send me an email and say, what was that guy's name and what was his email? I want to call him, and I'll be glad to pass it along to you. In fact, I'll even send you a link. So all you got to do is just click on it, and you'll be right there. Brad, we're talking about a part of Chapter 3, which is on communication in your book, and we were just talking about maintain direct eye contact. You know, when people don't look at you, you get the idea that they're either not sure of themselves, or they're not confident of their product, they're not confident of themselves, and we all like to do business with people who sort of give us a little bit of energy, don't we? And it's hard to convey energy when you don't look someone in the eye.
Well, that's absolutely true. And one of the key words you said there was confidence. And in sales, we have to have confidence. And I think that starts with eye contact. And people are looking to you to be the expert in whatever profession of sales you're in. And if you're not making eye contact, then you're right. They look at you as being a little bit shady or maybe not telling the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God.
And here's another thing, Brad, that happens. If you're in a sales call and there's more than one person in the meeting, And more than one prospect or customer in the meeting, even if you think that you know which one is the most important, always make contact with make eye contact as you talk with every single person. Have you ever watched someone do make a presentation, and they just focus on the president or whoever they think is the top person, and everybody else in the room might as well not even be there?
Well, that's
and it's so obvious, isn't it?
It is obvious, and you never know who the real decision maker is in
exactly
the organization.
Right.
So you have to not only maintain eye contact with each other, you have to carry on somewhat of a conversation and ask questions and get feedback from everybody as well.
You're going to sit there and make that presentation to that president or whoever you think is the right person, and you're going to sell that person hard, and you're going to do it and avoid everyone else. And then you get through and you leave, and the president is going to stand up and take your proposal and hand it to the least of those and say, here, you make the decision. I'm out of here.
Yeah, you make the decision, whatever you think we're
going to
do.
Whatever you think is fine with me. And that's one of the people, folks, that you never made eye contact with. You never can. You got to be careful about that. Let's move on and talk about watch for nonverbal indicators. And one of those nonverbal indicators is them looking back at you.
Well, that's exactly right as well. There's a two-way street when it comes to eye contact. And what I'm talking about is the whole essence of body language and watching what your customer's doing, and if they're starting to turn away from you or start to get a little blurry-eyed or yawning.
Or if their eyes close. Now, folks, if their eyes completely close and stay that way for more than about 3 seconds, you've got a problem, right?
That's just a
right
sure back sign that you need to get them back involved.
Clap your hands or do something.
Put something in their hands or ask them a question or do something to draw them back into.
Maybe have a little inflection in your voice, God forbid, right?
Or something. Pound on the table, jump up and down, do something to get them going. So.
But if they're looking around, if you're trying to make eye contact with them, or while you're talking, you know, you see them looking at their watch, or they're looking at the door, they're looking out the window, or worse yet, they're picking up something on their desk and starting to open their mail. Have you ever had that to happen, Brett?
Oh, sure.
I've been calling on people and trying to sell them something, you know, and while they're talking, you know, all of a sudden they start picking up the mail and going through it. Guess what? That sales call is over.
It is over, and that you're actually talking about communication point number 9, and that's intention, that you've got to intend to drive your communication and make sure that you have the full attention of the person you're making your presentation to.
Right. Folks, when we come back, we're going to get Brad to talk to us about something called concentrate, and this is a very important part of the ability to communicate and to make your sales presentation effective. When we come back after these messages, we're going to get into all that. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Brad Huskin, the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD, is our special guest. Stay with us, please. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I want to remind you we've got some folks coming up this week that I know you're going to be interested in hearing. Phil Nolman is going to be one of our next guests, and he's going to be talking about marketing. Phil does a great job, and we're going to have him back on the show to talk to us about marketing. Gary Schilling is going to be back with us to talk to us about something called deflation. We've lived with inflation for all these years now, and now there's some things going on called deflation. And he's actually got an update to his book, which is called Deflation. We're going to be talking about some of those issues. Also, Sarah Calvert, our small business attorney, is going to be with us. And then on Wednesday, Gene Greisman, remember the guy who's our Lincoln impersonator and has been with us several times before. He's actually brought President Lincoln with him. He's written a book called The Time Tactics of Very Successful People, and we're going to have Gene talking to us about the importance of how to manage your time better and be more successful in doing that. And a lot of other folks, as we go through the week, I'll be telling you about that. Brad Huskin is our special guest. He's the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD. He's our good friend, and we're talking about the importance of communication, all the different kinds of communication in the sales call. And Brad, we were about to talk about concentrating.
Well, and that's one of the key elements of communication, is to concentrate on every single word that your customer's saying. And, you know, I'm reminded that every time I talk about this subject about the very first computer that I bought. And, I had a couple goals in mind in buying the computer. Remember the old video game Pong?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was just one little bouncing ping pong ball, and it got kind of boring after the first year or two or three.
I think I was bored after about 30 seconds.
But I wanted to play this new game called Tetris with my boys, and my wife had a program called Cookbook from her sister that she wanted to print out the recipes and menus, and I went into the computer store, and I said, geez, I'd like to look at the computer, and the guy started educating me on gigabyte and RAM and hard drive and software and, you know, just confusing the heck out of me. And he didn't really hear what I was saying. I just want a computer to play some video games and, you know, get this cookbook program. And he felt he had to challenge my knowledge in education, so I actually had to go out and get the education before I made a purchase.
Mm-hmm.
But
And did you wind up doing business with him?
No, I really didn't.
But you were ready to.
I was ready to.
I mean, you had your credit card or your checkbook. You were ready to do business with him. He basically lost his sale because he was way ahead of you, wasn't he?
Well, he was trying to sell it for his reasons, not mine.
Yep.
And, you know, just the other day I was buying some shoes, and I told the guy I'm on my feet a lot. I do seminars, and I need a pair of shoes that are really comfortable, and we're looking at some shoes, and he goes to the back room and gets a pair out, and he comes out and says, well, I've got these, and they're leather, and you can polish them up all the time. And I thought, well, you know, what the heck does that have to do with comfort?
Right.
So I had to remind him that I'm looking for comfort. I don't really care about
it. Well, and the guy who was at the computer store, what he was trying to do was impress you with his knowledge of computers.
That's exactly right.
And he wasn't concentrating on what you were saying. And folks, you've really got to do that. As I said earlier, you got to learn to listen hard. Now, here's a really important one. Keep them talking.
Well, I believe that if you're doing all the talking, then the customer's walking.
That's right.
If they're doing the talking, then they're doing the buying as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if your sales isn't a gift of gab, sales is really an ability to listen and concentrate and focus and sell based on the reasons they want to buy, not on the reasons you want to sell. And that starts with keeping them talking and getting all the information from them and just doing the right things, getting something in their hands.
You said the word you said just a second ago was the key word, and that's information. Folks, the most important thing in being successful in sales is getting the information. And guess who has the information? You don't have it. It doesn't have anything to do with your products. It doesn't have anything to do with the colors of them, the new version, the pricing. You've got this great deal, the product of the month. It has to do with what the customer needs. Right, Brad?
Well, that's absolutely right. And too often we try to sell things based on the reasons we like it, not based on the reasons the customer wants to buy it. And that's a huge mistake in all avenues of sales.
That's one of the reasons why I caution the clients that I work with, Brad, about the product of the month. And I know we all have them, and we need to sell them because we need to move them and all that. But that should only come after you've determined that the customer actually could use the product of the month.
Well, that's one of the things that I don't like either is when you go in and they've got a product of the month or they've got a special on something or they've got a loss leader that they're trying to push, and not every customer wants that. And it's nice that you have that promotion to get people in the door, but let's figure out what it is they really want and let's give it to them.
Well, another thing that happens... Some customers are smarter than we are. We walk in and they'll say, well, what you got going on today? Now the truth is this person you're talking to needs what you have, or they wouldn't have let you in that day. But they'll say, what do you got going on today, or whatever. They'll say something like that, and that'll make you think that they really care about what you got going on today, and they don't really care at all about what you got. It's just a figure of speech, and you'll start running your mouth.
Well, those darn customers, they're kind of sneaky, aren't
they're
they?
They're insidious little guys, aren't they? You got to watch them.
Well, that's what I say. You got to concentrate. You got to keep them talking. You got to find out exactly what it is that they want and base your demonstration on what the customer's been telling you that they want, and there's all kinds of different reasons to buy things.
If a customer asks you, what do you got going on today, then you turn around and say, whatever you've got going on today, that's what I've got going on today.
Exactly.
All right, stand by, Brad. Folks, it's 39 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're going to be right back with more fun with Brad Huskin, the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD. Stay with us, please. All right, we're back. It's 44 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate your business. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is our good friend Brad Huskin, the author of the book I'm holding in my hand, I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD. I recommend it to you. It's available at Amazon.com. Is that right, Brad?
Yes, Amazon.com, and through our offices at 800-248-7703.
Okay, and if you need to get in touch with Brad, folks, and you didn't miss that number, you didn't get his email, just let me know, and I'll be glad to pass you along to him. In fact, I'll send you a direct link to his email. All you got to do is click on it. Brad, let's talk about another point in your chapter 3 here on communication. You say keep it simple. What do you mean by that?
Well, one of the traps that salespeople fall into when they get a little education and knowledge and some product knowledge is they start trying to baffle the customers with their industry jargon, so to speak.
Jargon is the kiss of death, isn't it?
Did you notice how clean they kept it?
Yeah, I noticed you cleaned that up, and there were people out in the audience saying, oh, no, where's he going with this?
You can't say that on here.
Go ahead.
But it's really true that...
You're dazzling them with your brilliance.
That's the word I was looking for. And sometimes we just talk in terms that nobody understands. And very rarely will a customer say to you, hey, listen, I'm a little bit ignorant. I didn't understand a word you said. Would you please explain it to me?
Right. They'll just sort of zone out on you, won't they?
Yeah, they'll say, I'll be back, or I need to think about it, or call me next week.
Or have a good life.
Yeah, have a good life, something along those lines.
And folks, if they say have a good life, that's not a good sign.
Well, it's not one of those buying signs, as we call them. So you've got to, if you're going to use your industry jargon, then please explain it, is just the basic rule of thumb. And
if you think you might be insulting their intelligence a little bit, if you're concerned that maybe you're starting out too low, you might actually say, are you familiar with this term?
Absolutely. And I would rather run the risk of starting too simple than in confusing them by saying something that they don't understand.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's talk about respond. That's next on the list.
Well, that's the most important of the communication keys, I think, in the fact that my broad-based definition of sales is really nothing more than a series of questions to get yes answers. And if you're asking questions and, you know, your typical demonstration or total presentation, you may ask the customer 10 or 12 or 15 or 20 questions, and you run a tremendous risk of sounding interrogational.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're responding to the answers to the questions, then you make it conversational, and the questions become much, much easier.
And it doesn't sound as rapid fire.
Exactly. It's more loving, caring, relationship building to be conversational than it is to be interrogational.
And if you're new to sales, folks, if this is something that you're just getting started in, that's one of the biggest mistakes that you will make. Because you're trying to do it, and it's not, there's nothing you can do about it except practice, right, Brad? I mean, it's going to be your nature probably to make this mistake, but it's okay. Just keep working on it, keep practicing. Your goal should be to make your sales presentation be conversational.
Well, that's exactly right, and it goes to what we were talking about off the air there, that it's back to the basics. And you know, here it is, late July, and all the NFL teams are going back to training camp, and you've got some real professionals there, and for the next 4 or 5 weeks, all they're going to be doing is getting back to the basics and practicing the basic fundamentals, and I think salespeople need to do that as well.
They're going to show up, and the coach is going to say, this is a football.
That's exactly right. It's a very simple game, gentlemen.
Yeah.
And that's the same in sales, is reviewing the questions that you ask and reviewing your confidence and your product knowledge and operational knowledge, sales techniques, customer service, all those things.
You know, I know you've done this, because, and I have. I'm also, as my audience knows, I'm also a sales trainer and train small businesses and medium-sized businesses and banks. And one of the things that continues to amaze me is as I'm teaching salesmanship, I'm reminding myself of things that I had forgotten. Do you do that?
That's exactly right. If you teach it enough, then it becomes your standard operating procedure. And,
but the other thing is that sometimes I'm teaching, as I'm teaching a fundamental and I'm talking about how important it is, then I realize that I made a sales call 2 days ago and didn't even do that.
Well, and that's true. None of us are perfect. We all need to fall back and practice the things that made us successful and review what we've been doing and how we're doing it and do it better.
That's exactly the point. Yeah, that's the point that we're trying to make here, folks.
Is that
no matter how long you've been doing this, I don't know how many times, and Brad, I'm sure you've had this too, you train somebody who's been doing sales for as long or maybe longer than you have, and they come up to you and they say, thank you for reminding me of that. I'd forgotten about that.
That's exactly right. And, you know, sometimes in sales it boils down to one or two words that is the difference between success or failure. And that's where point number 10 is weasel words.
Mm-hmm.
And you should avoid using weasel words. And weasel words are those wimpy kind of lack of confidence words like might and should and may and could, rather than talking with a bunch of confidence and all those things.
Weasel words. I like those. I've never. You're the only person I've ever heard use weasel words.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
that's very interesting. Say, give them to us again.
Well, they're words like should and could and might and may.
Indefinite words.
Indefinite words, like this might work out okay for you. Well, that isn't projecting a ton of confidence on the customer.
Will is the replacement for that.
Well, based on everything we've talked about, I absolutely know that this is going to be perfect for
you. Right. This will work. Yeah, exactly. Stand by. We're going to come back in a few minutes, folks, and talk about something that I'm not sure I understand. He says, Brad says, never pre-qualify. I'm going to ask him that question when we come back after these messages. It's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Brad Huskin is our special guest. Stay with us, please. All right, we're back. It's 54 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Brad Huskin is our special guest. He's the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD, Realistic Strategies to Increase Your Sales. I recommend this book to you folks. It's excellent. It is an excellent book, one of the best I've ever seen on salesmanship. And sure recommend that you check it out at Amazon.com. Give him your phone number again, Brad.
The phone number is 800-248-7703.
Or go to my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, and you can find Brad there, and including a link to his website, to his email, I should say, or if you want to, give me an email, and I'll hook you up with him. Brad, let's keep talking about communication, and we've got a couple of final points here. You said something about in this chapter you say never pre-qualify. What do you mean by that? I'm not sure I understand that.
Well, sometimes salespeople fall into a trap where they qualify people based on what they look like or how much they think they can afford to spend or any of those other situations. You know, in some cases, when I'm not working, I'm not dressed up, and I wear jeans and T-shirts, and maybe I'm wearing socks depending on how deep the snow is here. And seems like in some places I can't get anybody to help me. But when I'm dressed in a suit and tie and those kinds of things, I can get those people off my back.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I look or the way I'm dressed does nothing to change my spending ability. I think too often salespeople fall into that trap of thinking that somebody can't afford to buy their product or any of those kinds of things.
Well, or we're driving down the road and we look over at a business that might be a prospect and we say, they don't need what I've got.
Right.
Now, that's the wrong kind of pre-qualifying.
Exactly.
But now there is a good way to pre-qualify.
Well, there's a difference between qualifying through asking questions and pre-qualifying somebody before you even ask a question.
Right.
And, we're talking, you've got Phil Noman on tomorrow, I believe, and Phil's a marketing specialist that I'm a good friend of, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say let the marketing guys do the qualifying via the advertising.
Right.
But if they contact you or they call you or they come into your store or your showroom or any of those situations, they're qualified.
Brad, another section of this chapter on communication is you say every word is important.
Well, that's what we kind of alluded to a little bit earlier, Jim, is that every single word that you say is important, and the difference between success or failure may be one little word or saying the wrong word or saying something that the customer doesn't understand. And that's where I think that part of getting back to the basics is actually doing some role-playing and fine-tuning every word and every phrase that you say.
And the way you say the words are important.
Absolutely.
Not just the words, but whether you put the key word on the front or the back of the sentence is important.
Well, and that's point number 12 is tone, enunciation, and rate of speech. And, you know, some say tomato and some say tomato, but
right.
It's all the same word. And it's how the customer is receiving that communication or that bit of information, how they perceive the word's meaning that might have all the difference in the world as well.
Role-playing, you said that, and that's important. And that's something that I really stress. I know you do that when you're training. I do it too. But a lot of people, without a professional to help them, most companies don't do role-playing, do they?
No, they really don't. And people are kind of scared of it. And I absolutely believe in role-playing. I believe in practicing. And I believe you should actually role-play to the point where if a customer gives you an objection or they put a bat in your spokes, so to speak, you have role-played that scenario in the past, and you know how to handle it now. And that's
you really need a facilitator to do good role-playing, don't you, though?
A facilitator or somebody that you're working with or some teammate or something like that to help coach and fine-tune and re-emphasize points and all those kinds of things.
Right. Brad, we've got to wrap it up for this hour. You've done a great job. Thank you very much.
Well, it's been a real pleasure being with you. I look forward to talking with you again.
We'll do it again real soon. Thanks,
okay.
Brad.
Take
Brad
care.
Houston, ladies and gentlemen, the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD. Got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. Dr. Gary
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.